Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I woke up excited this morning to preach tonight. Glory to God. So I'm excited for the word. God's been dealing with me on some stuff for, probably over a week now anyways on some things where I'm going to minister here tonight. So I'm just excited for it and all that God has for us. So I hope you came excited. My wife had a good point. You know, it was a good thing if we missed one, because we missed last week, it'd be a good thing to come double hungry. Amen. And just get all that we need to get. You know, I've noticed that the one thing about that Satan always tries to do is separate Christians, good Christian people, but he tries to separate them from their local church. And the reason he can do that, or the reason he wants to do that, is because that's where the power in our lives are, you know. And of course, you won't, you know, you're not going to fail if you miss a week. Sometimes you won't fail if you miss 2 weeks. But, you know, I've noticed this in my own life, that as I miss church, it really does something. Amen. You really feel it. Amen. And it's not because God is punishing us. And we have to remember that. It's not that God is punishing us for not being in church, but it's because he's given us church to connect to him. Amen. And so the things that God has given us to connect to him, his word, his spirit, and of course, his local church and a pastor and all the other ministry gifts, you know, we have to be thankful for that. We have to be excited for those things and not just treat them lightly, knowing that God has given us these things to bless our lives. Amen. In fact, a lot of times what people are praying for, they're praying for and they're not finding it because they're not connecting to what God is actually doing. And without that connection, they can't be blessed. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. Tonight's message is called No Seed, No Harvest. Amen. Praise God. Now, I believe that this message in part was born out of, you know, 2 weeks ago, I ministered to the people of Corey that come here, you know, and, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I talked about you being seed. Amen. And this message, I guess, as I look back, was kind of birthed in that moment. In that moment, as I was ministering according to the Spirit, the Lord was giving me direction of things that I didn't see before. And, I know, you know, that it's a principle in the Word. Word of seed time and harvest, and that God, the word says a lot about that. But we have to understand that's a spiritual principle, not just a natural principle. Yeah. And that it's a spiritual principle, it means that even tonight, even as we're here tonight, coming here in faith and believing God to do great and mighty things here in this town, just coming together and congregating together, that's planting seeds, or it's tending to seeds. Amen. And so, but the thing that we understand by the principle that's laid out in the scripture is that without seed, you can't have a harvest. If you never, you know, you can have a bag of corn seed, corn, you know, praise the Lord, sitting on your shelf. But until you go out and sow it into a ground, it's never going to produce anything else. It's just going to sit there doing what it does, just being there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that there is a principle. But God does it. You know, Jesus spoke a lot of times in parables. And I believe that one of the biggest reasons that Jesus spoke to us in parables is to show us that there's a lot of things that we can understand about God through these other things that happen in life. And seed time and harvest, of course, is a big thing. Planting, sowing, and reaping, it's a big thing with God. We know it's a big thing because he created the entire earth to work this way. It doesn't matter if you're a plant, it doesn't matter if you're an animal, it doesn't matter if you're a human. There has to be a seed before you get a harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as I was meditating along these lines in the scriptures that we're going to get into tonight, the Lord started revealing something to me. And one of those things he revealed to me is the fact that when God wanted a harvest, he planted a seed. And he didn't just plant a seed, he planted the greatest seed. Amen. And we understand that God wanted a harvest of a family. You know, we were separated from God through sin, and that wasn't his desire, but that's what had happened. And so God's people were separated from him spiritually. Now, God still did things to try to help them along until Jesus came. But we see that we know that Jesus was a seed, and the Bible tells us that he was a seed, and that from that seed would spring many, 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 or a great harvest. Amen. And so that's exactly what God was doing, and he did that to show us how we are to live as well. Amen. And so we're going to start in Galatians 6:7. This is a scripture we love about sowing and reaping. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. I love, you know, out of all the things that I've been taught over the years, you know, being in a church. This is one I remember. I don't remember when I first heard about this concept of sowing and reaping. But it's one that definitely has blessed me in a great measure. And it's honestly, it's been one of the greater teachings. Of course, the greatest teaching is Christ and, you know, his redemptive love. And but this all ties in with that. And so we understand that, you know, that there, you know, all these things, all the things that God are big things with God, he ties them together anyways. Faith, you know, seed time and harvest, all these things are all tied together. Love, they all go hand in hand. But this is one of the ones that has affected my life in such a great and mighty way. And I'm so thankful for this teaching because not everybody teaches this way. You know, some people think that just, you know, the things that God does is just a matter of just him deciding to do it. And that's just not scriptural. You'll never see it in scripture. You can't find it in scripture. But see, when people believe that, and this is the trick and the trouble of that, is that when people believe that, then they live that way themselves. And when people live that way themselves, then they go without the harvest that God has intended for them. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. God intends for us all to be very fruitful and have great harvest. But Galatians 6:7, what does it say here? It says, do not be deceived. I love it when the Bible says, do not be deceived, because that lets us know that we are not to be deceived. In other words, that what he's about to say, that you can be easily deceived by the opposite of what he's saying. Amen. If the Bible says, do not be deceived. Now listen, it is a common understanding that God gave us the word so we're not deceived. Most people won't deny that unless you're just somebody who knows nothing about Christianity, and then you might, but you know, we're not going to have that discussion with you anyways. Amen. But when the Bible says, do not be deceived, or when Jesus said things like, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, or when, or he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches in another place. When God is saying that, now listen, he didn't write the word and intend it to be spoken for us not to hear it. But when he says, listen up, it means listen up. It means this is something that you can bank on. This is something that you need to really look at. You need to really consider what I'm about to say. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when God says in Galatians 6:7, when he says, do not be deceived, then he's letting us know that this is a place where humans are easily deceived. Right. Not just humans. Praise God. This is a place where Christians are easily deceived. I said this is a place where Christians are easily deceived. What are they easily deceived in? What's coming after? Do not be deceived. Amen. There's a reason that Paul told the Galatians this. He told them it by the Holy Spirit. You know, I had somebody say to me, they say, well, you know, the Bible, but the Bible wasn't all written by Jesus, so I don't know if you can believe it all. Well, listen, that's just a dumb statement. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because God wanted to use humans, and if God is real in the first place, he would have no problem getting us the word of God. Amen. Yeah, right. So that's just the first place. So we have to understand, but I've heard Christians argue this. Listen, it doesn't matter if Paul wrote it, doesn't matter if Moses wrote it. It doesn't matter, because Jesus didn't actually physically write any of the Bible, but he authored the entire thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're not going to be deceived, right? Amen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, the way God does things, the way he set things up, it's not going to be mocked. It will always work that way. You're not going to change it another way. I've seen Christians that have come to me and they've tried to come up with ways around God's word, and you just can't do it. You can think you can do it, but then you fall into that category of being deceived. Hallelujah. That's a person who wants something other than the way that God does it. Listen, you're not going to get, there's processes that work on the earth. They're both spiritual and natural. A lot of times they work together. A lot of times they work similarly. But the fact of the matter is they work because that's the way God designed them to work. Amen. It's not going to work different. It's not just not going to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Very simple principle. whatever a man sows, whatever a woman sows, that they will also reap. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does this apply to? Does it apply to money? Yes. Does it apply to your marriage? Yes. Does it apply to your work life? Yes. Does it apply to your dealings with your spouse, your boss? Yes. Does it apply to your dealings with your family? Yes. Does it apply to your dealings with people at Walmart? Yes. Whatsoever a man sows, because the Bible didn't limit it to say one thing. He says whatever, whatsoever, whatever you want to say, whatever, anything, whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. Praise the Lord. If you are a person who sows strife, you are going to reap strife. Hallelujah. If you are a person who sows negativity, you are going to reap negativity. If you are a person who sows fear, you are going to reap fear. Praise the Lord. Whatever you sow, that you will also reap. Amen. Glory to God. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. You can't mock him by doing it a different way. When the Bible says it, you can bank on it. So when we read it in the Word, we can bank on it. We can say this is the truth because that's what the Bible says. Amen. That's what God says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is so important. It is so imperative for us to know this principle. Amen. We have to get this principle so into us that we realize that everything, you know what God has been dealing with me a lot about lately? Praise the Lord. We're going to go there. Well, let's just go ahead and let's flip over to Ephesians. That's the next book over. Go to chapter 4. Praise the Lord. We're going to 28, but I'm going to read to you verse 29 because this is something God's been dealing with me a lot on. Look what 29 says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What God has been dealing with me so much on are the words that are coming out of my mouth, not just in the pulpit, but when I speak to people, is it imparting grace into the hearers or is it causing strife? Is it imparting grace to the hearers or is it removing it? You know, grace is God's ability, or it's ability really is what it is. Amen. So God has been dealing with me a lot. Why do you suppose he's been dealing with me on that a lot? Because he wants me to reap from that grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us to reap a harvest. So when we follow the Spirit will always correct us and lead us and to make sure that we're checking up on the things that we're doing and the things that we're saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. But go back to Ephesians 4:28. That's the scripture right before it. Praise the Lord. It says, let him who stole steal no longer. Yeah. Glory to God. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, it was, I can't remember what day it was, but, I was actually seeking the Lord on something else, and I was praying in the Spirit, and this came out of me, and God led me to this section of scriptures, and it really, really was transforming my thinking. He really started showing some things. I actually want to back up even one more scripture to verse 27. It says, nor give place to the devil. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And right here we see one of the greatest, one great principle in the Word of sowing and reaping. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people that have a hard time believing that God wants to bless them. But here in this scripture, we see the heart of the Father. We see the very heart of God and why he wants us to believe that. Yeah. Because God does not bless us for just us. God blesses us, as the Bible says, to be a blessing. Right. Amen. If you have received in your life, God has put it in your life as a way of increasing, a way of increasing others, a way of helping others. Why does God? God is a giver. That's what he is. That's what his nature is. And so if his nature is now on the inside of us, praise the Lord, his nature has been put on the inside of us to make us the same. Amen. Praise God. He didn't say I was good with your nature. He didn't say I'm good with the way you were. He said, I want you to be more like me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so we understand this principle here. God calls it thievery. if you really study this out, God calls it thievery to not be that person who is a giver. You're, and actually we see that if you go to Malachi and read before, in Malachi was at 3:7. I think it says, you know, will a man rob God? And then he goes on, where have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings, praise the Lord. And he explains that, you know, offerings that are given to God aren't always given in the church, but it's still doing it on the behalf of God or to God when you give, because Jesus said, as much as you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. And so we understand that principle. But we should desire increase, and this is the point that I want to get to here, is that we should desire increase in our lives, because increase in our lives, if it's brought into a life that is pure before God and right before the Lord, increase that is brought into your life is meant to bless other people. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless you too. Of course he does. He wants you to have increase in your lives. But I've met so many Christians that have said, you know, I just don't desire anymore. Well, you're not a Christian who knows your Father very well. Because if you don't desire anymore, how can you be a blessing to people? Yeah. See, you may not desire more personally, and that's fine. You may not want a bigger house or a nicer car or more money in the bank. You might not want that. That's fine. But according to the Word, the Bible says here that that we are to work with our hands. We're to produce something, amen, yeah, that we may have something to give him who is in need. Yeah. What, who's him who is in need? Well, it could be somebody who's poor. It could be the work of the Lord. It could be a minister that wants to do so. You know, one thing that I've learned over the years is that there is no ministry that is doing the work of the Lord that doesn't have need for more money. Yeah. That doesn't have need for increase. Every minister that we are connected to, every minister that we have in, one of the common things that I think is, man, I wish I could sow into them more, because I want to, you know what I mean? I want to be able to do that. Now, when I say wish, it doesn't mean that I'm just wishing arbitrarily. I believe God for more money so that we can sow into more people. Amen. But that again is the heart of the Father. We should be looking for areas for us to sow into, to increase, so we can sow more. Amen. And that's the principle of it. Amen. And again, it's not just in the church. It's not just in anything. We should be endeavoring to be the best Christians that we could be. You know, sow with our labor, sow with our time, sow with our finances, sow with whatever that we can possibly sow with. Amen. You know, I've been given certain talents, naturally speaking, that, you know, things that I'm able to do. And so what do I do with that? I sow those things. Why? Because that's something I want to reap in those areas. Amen. And now my purpose for sowing is not reaping. That isn't my purpose in doing it. My purpose is to be pleasing to my Heavenly Father. Amen. This is why I also don't live a life of sin. You know, I'm grieved. I'm grieved when I know that I've done something that displeases God. I'm grieved because it hurts the heart of God. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to do things. And that's why I've determined in my life that I'm not going to live a life of sin. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. But, you know, there's a lot of Christians that struggle with living right. And the reason they struggle with living right is because they haven't got to a place where they hate sin enough. Yeah. That's all there is to it. The reason someone sins is because they don't hate sin enough. They love the sin more than they love being right. And so that's why people slip into that stuff. But it's all a choice. It's stuff that we choose to do. You know, the Bible tells us to repent. Yeah. Glory to God. And repent literally means to change. Right. Well, what is the opposite of repenting? It's sinning. And what is sinning? It's sowing seeds of evil. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. There are people that spend a lifetime sowing seeds of evil, and then in the end they want God to come clean it all up. And he says, I can't do that. Yeah. Why? Because what you've been sowing is what you're going to reap. Right. How do we know that? Because Galatians 6:7 tells us that whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. Praise the Lord. And so if you are sowing bad seed after bad seed, listen, Christian, God is not looking for ways to punish you or to send you to hell or hurt you. But here's the truth of the matter. The longer you go, you know, some people will put it off to say, well, God will forgive me, so I'll put it off a little bit longer. And I'll put it off a little bit longer. I'll put it off a little bit longer. But the whole time, the thing that they're missing is that they're sowing seeds. And spiritually, they're sowing seeds. And those seeds are going to grow. They might not be able to see them right away. They might not be able to. Let's just take right now. We're sowing seeds. We've been sowing them for 3 years now, just about, coming down here to Corey. Yeah. We haven't seen the growth of the seeds that we've been planting, but that doesn't mean we won't.
Right.
Some seeds take this much time and some seeds take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
It's whatever seed you're sowing is the ones you're going to be growing. Amen. And so we want to be growing the right things in our life. So that's why we plant seeds of the right kind. Amen. And so I look at this principle when I think about my own life, and I always think, how can I sow better? How can I be a better steward of sowing? Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, I'm talking about whatever, whatsoever. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to just cheapen it by putting one thing on the title. You know, it's whatever we sow. Amen. Praise the Lord. But notice that if you're not here, if you're not somebody who is sowing, you're one who's stealing. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you aren't searching, if you're not a person who is endeavoring to be somebody who can sow more, to give more, to do more,
yeah.
Praise the Lord. You are somebody who is stealing.
Wow.
The Bible calls you a thief. That's what it is. A person who is lazy, a person who doesn't want to produce anything, a person who is just okay with where they're at and they don't ever think about it anymore. The Bible calls that thieving. God says that it's robbery.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. And see, this is a problem with a lot of people because we are so used to this society. It's a me society. We focus on me and what I want and all those things. And when we do that, then people go without. The plan of God goes without.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the truth.
Yes.
Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Praise God. God is good. Now, here's the thing. The wonderful thing about sowing and reaping. God was really genius when he gave us this. Because the simple principle of what he was saying, whatsoever man sows, that he shall also reap. The simple principle of sowing and reaping always gives us the ability, no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in the economy, no matter what's going on in the world, it does not matter. It enables God's people to always have the power to get out of any situation they're at instantly.
Yeah.
And what I mean instantly is it doesn't mean that you're going to grow something instantly, but it means you can start the process in any given moment of any given day, no matter where you're at. Doesn't matter if you're in Siberia. It doesn't matter if you're in Antarctica. It does not matter where you're at in the middle of Africa. This principle will work for you. And so you can, if you are someone who learns to follow the Spirit, you're somebody who can learn how to increase. One of the things that we've learned is that if we want to increase an area of our life, we sow into that area in someone else's life. Amen. Why do we do that? Because by doing that, that's how the increase happens. God has given us the power, us the ability to do it. But the question is, do we take him up on it? Amen. Matthew 25:14. Glory to God. Starts off here, it says, hallelujah, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And so, again, here we see a principle in the word. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like, he's likening the way things work with God to the way things are, he's about to explain. This is a parable, giving us a natural thing for a supernatural principle. Amen? And so this, when we hear the kingdom of heaven is like, our ears should perk up. Because that means God's going to tell us something about how to operate in the kingdom of God while we're standing here. Amen. So he says, like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Is that not exactly what Jesus did with us?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says that God delivered his goods to us. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit was, what his job is supposed to do. He's supposed to tell us things to come. He's supposed to tell us, declare to us the things that belong to us from Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And so this is exactly the same thing. We see the principle. Now, of course, this was written, or this event happened before the Holy Spirit came, before they had the understanding of that. But now we can look back on all this and we say, oh, yes, now I see the truth here. And to one he gave 5 talents, Now, I love that, again, that it uses the word talents. This word talents actually means, I looked it up, and it actually is an interesting meaning, that which is weighed. So it could be anything. Amen. That which is weighed, that which has value to it. Amen. You know, gold is measured by the weight of it. Amen. Yeah. That's how they measure. That's how you know the value of it is by. So it's that which is weighed. And so anything that is weighty, anything that is valuable could fall into this place. Now, talents, you know, specifically talents was used for a measure of money. But again, we're talking about a parable, yeah, which gives us a spiritual principle for natural things. Yeah. Amen. Using natural examples. Yep. Glory to God. But they're spiritual principles. We have to remember that. And so it's not wrong for us to say it's anything which could be weighed. I love this because so often we humans have talents and they don't use them for the Lord.
That's right.
To another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. Amen. And immediately he went on a journey. Praise the Lord. So we see this, that God, he isn't giving somebody something they can't handle. You know, some people think, well, why did he give one 5 talents? Well, because that one proved that he could handle 5 talents, whatever it was. And the other one that had 2, he proved he could handle 2. Well, maybe the one that had 2 couldn't handle any more, and that's okay. God's not, that doesn't mean that the principle of sowing and reaping can't work for him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now, I want to bring up real quick Romans 12:3. Just stay right here where we're at, and I want to bring it up here. I think we're going to bring it up there on the board. Glory to God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so God has given us each according to our ability. He's given us each a measure of faith. God will bless us in that measure of faith. See, so often people they're looking at what everybody else has. And by doing that, by looking into the lives of other people and from the standpoint of what they have and say, well, why don't I have that? That's what gets us off. See, we can desire greater things. There's nothing wrong with that. But God gives us according to our own ability. He gives us talents, each according to our own ability. Amen. And he expects us to be faithful with that. But here's the thing. If you're faithful with a little, God will make you ruler over much. The Bible tells us that. And so it does not matter. Like, you could be somebody who has had the ability to have 5 talents, but didn't use it. And then the person that had 1 talent could have multiplied it, and far surpassed that one with 5 talents because of their faithfulness. See, God doesn't intend us to stay there, because whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. And so if you sow good stewardship, guess what you're going to reap? Praise the Lord. The things that good stewardship provides for you, which is more ability to use. So often people think that they have a money problem, when the problem is really, or actually my wife and I can tell you, almost 100% of the time, anybody who is having financial problems, it is never an actual financial problem. It is a character issue.
Yeah.
Almost every single time. It was with us. When our finances were all crazy and all over the place, what was it? It was a character issue. Now, we didn't know we had a character issue because we didn't know it.
Yeah.
We didn't realize that there was character issues there. But so God wasn't going to bless us with more, because it would have ruined us.
Yeah.
But what did God do? He sent somebody to teach us the word. And that person who taught us the word, when we received the word, we said, yes, we recognize that we have the issue.
Yeah.
And so what did we do? We changed our way of doing things so that we could fix that, so we could be better stewards. That's when the character got turned around. Listen, if you have a character issue, it doesn't always mean that you're a bad person. Sometimes people have character issues just because of the way they were raised, or just because of the way they believed. But man, when you come into the Lord, he will show you all kinds of things that you need to fix. And that's fine. That's good if you don't get offended. But a lot of people say, well, I'm offended by that. Why are you offended? If something's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to use it like this. I don't ever get offended at my mechanic when he tells me that something's not working, broken in my car, when I take it to him to get something checked out. You know, if something's not running right, I can take it to my mechanic and he looks at it and says, yeah, this is wrong. I don't get offended at him because there's something wrong. Why? Because he's just pointing out what's wrong. Amen. I'm just happy that he knows how to fix it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes I remember days where, you know, something was expensive. You're like, oh, dear Lord, how am I going to pay for that? But see, that's for trusting in God. And if you're following God, God will always make sure you're supplied. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So verse 16, it says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Isn't this saying the same thing? Didn't we see that in over there in Ephesians where it talked about, working with your hands, doing something? Let him who steals, steal no longer. Yes. We're going to see that principle laid out here. Amen. Traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. His Lord said, verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to pull up another scripture real quick right here. John 15:8. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He said, by this you can know that you are his disciples because you're bearing much fruit. Listen, if you're a Christian who's not bearing much fruit, you are not a disciple of Christ. Because if you're a disciple of Christ, you would be bearing much fruit. This is what Jesus said. The whole purpose of us doing this is to glorify our Heavenly Father. And if we're not bearing fruit, we are not glorifying our Heavenly Father. That does not mean that if you are not rich, you're not glorifying your Heavenly Father. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Bible says that we must bear much fruit. That's how God's glorified. There's so much more to it. Amen. But we know that money translates into salvations. Money translates into people bearing more fruit. How do we know that? Well, this church was planted primarily by people who gave money. Yeah. It continues to go primarily by people who give money. If people didn't give money, the work wouldn't happen. People's lives wouldn't change. It wouldn't reach Corey. Period. That's all there is to it. The same thing goes with Mayville. That church was planted by people who were giving money. Amen. Now, it's not just money. It's money and time and all these things. But we understand that this principle of how God wants to do things. Amen. You can't bear fruit if you're going to be somebody who won't sow. If you're somebody who won't plant the seed, you will never be able to bear fruit. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 22, it says, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. We see this again. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Look, notice that both the person that had a little and the guy who had a lot didn't matter, but they were both faithful with it, and God made them both ruler over many things. It doesn't say that I'll make you ruler over many things, but lesser than the one who had 5 talents. No, because you can continue to increase. How do you continue to increase? By continuing to sow. By continuing to release your faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we release faith by what we do, not by what we say. You can release it by what you say, but it only is attached to what you do. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. Let's see. Okay, then verse 24 says, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? Praise the Lord. If you are desiring a harvest in any area of your life, you must as a matter of a fact, start with a seed. You must. You cannot do it any other way. If you want to harvest, listen. There are people that get on their knees and they're begging God for things and they're never seeing it. And the reason they're never seeing it is because they've never planted seed. Yeah. God will not increase you just because you need it. He will not increase you just because you want it. He will not increase you because you have been on your knees and with tears begging him to. If you want something, if you want a harvest, you need to sow to get it. Praise the Lord. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that, and also in one version says, and only that he will reap. You only can reap what you have sown, because the principle tells us way back in Genesis that the principle of seed time and harvest, what is that? Is it Genesis 12 or is it Genesis 8? I think one of those two. But it says these things will not pass away as long as the earth remains. Yeah. Seed time and harvest. You can't get more unless you increase the seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9:10. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is such a basic, and that's the other thing about it. It is such a basic, simple process that God has given us to increase. Such a simple thing that he was, no matter where we're at, glory to God. I heard of somebody that was in a service once, and they were so poor they couldn't even pay attention. They were just dirt poor. They had nothing. And you know, when the offering bucket goes by, they knew that this principle of seed time and harvest. And actually, you know, the several people that did these types of things. And so what did they do? They popped a button off their jacket and threw it into the bucket. That's all they had. Now, listen, if you've gone out and you've spent your entire paycheck on doing whatever, and then you say, oh, I have nothing, you know, to give the Lord, so I'm going to pop a button off, that doesn't count. Right. I mean, this person literally had nothing, and that's what they sowed. And God increased them and increased them and increased them because of their faithfulness. Yeah. See, the problem is people try to do it so often. They try to, you know, the principle of sow, you remember, whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Yeah. And so this is the thing. If you're a bad steward and you try to sow something else to make up for your bad stewardship, praise the Lord. Listen to me here, because this is important, because a lot of Christians get deceived thinking that, oh, I can be a bad steward with this, but I can go over here and try to make up for it doing this. Like some people say, well, I can't tithe, or I won't tithe, because you can always tithe. But they say, I won't tithe because then I don't think I'll have anything. But what I'll do is I'll go over here and I'll serve. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've completely killed your seed because you've never even planted a seed, so you're not increasing. So we understand that you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. Is what we're saying. You know, we see that a lot of times when there's a special offering. You take up you have an offering. You take up offerings for different things, and because there's different needs. Well, a lot of times when another offering is taken up, what people do is they stop being faithful in one offering and they start giving to this offering. Well, that's great, but all you're doing is robbing Peter to pay Paul. The same amount of money has come in. If you want to increase, you have to increase, amen? And the same thing goes with your entire life. You can't stay where you were always at, just jockeying things back and forth. Do you know there's a lot of Christians that live this way, and they shouldn't live this way. There's a lot of Christians with their own bills. They'll pay what they can, and then they'll just move things back and forth, and they never get out of it. They never quite, you know what I mean? And I'm not blaming people if they're in a place. Listen, we were in the worst financial place that you could possibly be. I mean, nothing, and then owing money is pretty bad. Amen. But because of the principle of seed time and harvest, God increased us to come out of that. He enabled us to come rise above that. It wasn't because God looked down on us and say, oh, I'm going to bless Jeff and Renee because I love them so much. No, he blessed faithfulness, because that's what God blesses. He blesses faithfulness. He doesn't bless your ideas. He doesn't bless your thoughts. He blesses your faithfulness, the things that you do, when you put action to the things that you say that you believe. Listen, a lot of people say, I trust God, but then they withhold from God. How do I mean they withhold? From anything. You know, maybe they're not faithful to come to church. You know what I mean? Maybe they're not faithful to want to serve in church. Listen, it should be the desire of every man, woman, and child to do as much as they can for God. Yeah. Why? Because it's seed time and harvest. Yeah. That's how it happens. The work of the Lord doesn't happen except for people who decide to go out and do it. And the fact of the matter is that usually 25% or less of the church do 100% of the work. It's not right. Listen, if you can come into church and just come into church and be able to sit here, that's wonderful. But at some point, Christian, we gotta move to the place where we're doing something. Yeah. Because we're not doing anything for the Lord just sitting here. We need to be activating our faith by our actions. We need to be sowing those seeds. Why? Because God can't increase. He can't do anything in our life if we just sit there like bumps on the logs, never doing anything, never changing anything. What a lot of Christians do, they're superstitious. Christians so often act superstitious. They sit there and they just wait for the blessing. They just think if they just sit there, the blessing will come down on them. That's not the way the Bible works. That's not the way God works. God works when we activate. He says the just shall live by faith. We know that in James, the Bible tells us that faith without works is not faith at all. It's dead. So if you're not doing something with what you believe, you're not doing something. And just sitting there looking pretty, praise the Lord, is not doing something it's not doing something. Now, it's important that we come and we sit. And there's times where we come and we sit. And there's times when there's not much to do. Yeah. Amen? But that doesn't mean that we get, like, where we look for nothing to do. Right. You know what I mean? We should always be looking. And how can we be a greater blessing here? How can we increase what the Lord is doing? Right. See, the problem is a lot of people want things like revival. They want things like the power of God to flow in their lives. But they don't want to, they don't want to give back. They don't want to put back into it. They don't want to be the ones that make it happen. Well, God blesses the hands of those who work. Yes. And those who are doing the work. In other words, those who are, you know, yes, it means there's a natural principle. Just, you go to work, you can't just sit around never doing anything and expect to increase. You can't do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been an employer, but any employer, the worst thing is an employer is to have an employee who won't do anything. Or won't do what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? If they won't complete it, they never do their job. If you got it, that's awful. There's nothing worse than that. My brother and I used to landscape together, and I remember we had this one guy who spent more time on his phone than he did doing anything. And he was standing there holding a shovel. It's like, listen, that's not getting the stuff done. And we weren't pricky, you know. We'll let people, I'm real, like, you know, open with letting people, you know, have a moment if they want to have that. Because I had bosses that wouldn't let you even go to the bathroom without looking over your shoulder, and that ain't right either. But the point that I'm trying to make is, you know, here we're free. We'll give lots of, but some people just don't have good principles in them. They don't have good character. And if people won't sow, they're not going to reap. If you don't deserve most people, they have such a lottery mentality. And they have that with God too. If I just sit here, if I just read the Bible, if I just say I believe in God, if I just post nice Christian posts on Facebook or something, then God is automatically going to bless me for that. And that's not the way that it works. Amen? But, you know, it seems a little bit sobering, but at the same time, on the other side of this, none of us, we can be absolutely guaranteed that none of us have to stay where we're at. I don't know about you, I am not happy with where I'm at. Why? Because God's got another level for me to go to. And as long as I know He's got another level for me to go to, I'm going to be, that's where my heart is set. That's where my sights are set. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the way it should always be. We should always be striving for more. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Where was that scripture, Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. I read it today, I think. It's in Psalms. Just give me a minute if we can here, because I wanna share this if I can find it. I believe you, Lord, to bring it back to me. Is it Psalm? Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, I can't remember exactly where. Oh, there it is. Ha ha. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 32 says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Hallelujah. What does it mean to enlarge your heart? It means that God is going to enlarge your heart to see things that you've never seen before, to see greater, to look for greater. But some Christians are just okay with where they're at. Yeah. And that, I would say that's not a very good steward. God has given us this wonderful gift of Christ, this wonderful gift of entering back into His presence, this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who wants to pour out upon us all God's blessings, wants to teach us and lead us and guide us and show us all these things. And yet sometimes God's people are just kicking back going, find where I'm at. I don't need any more. That's not the blessing of the Lord. And don't think that you'll be blessed living that way, because you won't be. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says here, now may he who supplies seed to the sower. I love that. Doesn't say he supplies seed, does it? Says he supplies seed to the sower. If you want more seed, you got to be a sower. And you can't be a sower unless you've been planting seed. See, that's the thing. This is the catch 22, if you will. There's so many people that are waiting for God to bless them so they can. And then there's the people that realize that God has already blessed them, so they do. Yeah. See, if God has already blessed, if you have a shoelace, you got something to sew. Yeah. You got some ability. You got some place to start. If you want to increase, there is one way in life you're going to increase in any area, and that's by sowing into it. Amen. Think about it like this. I always, when I think about sowing and reaping, one of the first places I always think, you know where it is? One of the greatest places that we can sow and we can reap from is a marriage. Yeah. Yeah. One of the greatest places. When you are in a marriage, if you're in a marriage, if you've been in a marriage, you can understand this principle. But I always think about this almost every single time I think about sowing in a marriage. Think about two people in a marriage. Now, even if you're not in a marriage, you can understand what a good marriage would look like, so you can understand what I'm about to say. But think about one person sitting there and never does anything, never says anything to the other spouse, never says anything nice to them, never gives them anything, never tries. You know, one of the things, my wife and I got, I was getting frustrated with her the other night. You know why? Because we were talking about Christmas, and I want to give her something good. And she's just not generally telling me all the things that she wants or even desiring all these things. And I'm just like, you got to help me out, because I don't want to get you something you don't want. I was getting frustrated because I just wanted to bless her. She was getting frustrated with me because I was getting frustrated with her. But it was all about me wanting to bless her. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And her heart was right too. You see, that's not, if we could have taken it far, we could have taken it to a bad place. But my point is that's not necessarily a bad thing to get frustrated over. Wanting to do more for someone else, amen, that's why we have a blessed marriage. Because we live that life where our desire is always, even if it's it doesn't have to be a holiday. We even said we're not going to buy anything for each other for Christmas this year. Maybe one little gift, amen. And you know how that works, how we end up doing that. Because we just have a desire to be a blessing to each other. Again, why we have a good marriage? Because we sow into that marriage. We sow things that aren't expected, and we reap out of that. Amen? My wife sows into me things that aren't expected. And what does she reap? She reaps a husband who loves her like crazy and just doesn't even want to not be with her. Amen? And the same thing, vice versa. Amen. Why? Because we sow into those things. Sowing and reaping. It's a principle that works. But we have all heard of the marriages, and every marriage that goes south, every marriage that fails, one or both of the people are not sowing enough. They're not sowing enough. They're like, somebody's selfish. Oh, I need me time. I want this for me. I want me, 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 me. I. All about me. And the marriage goes south. What is adultery? It is somebody who is sowing into the wrong vineyard, the wrong field. That's exactly what it is. And then why does the marriage break up? Because they haven't sown. They're reaping what they have sown. They've sown in opposite vineyards, and so they lose the one that they have. And that's, see, it's just a principle. And so we understand that. So we shouldn't think that it's so odd that God, because he's the one who's designed marriage, that God is doing the same principle in all of our lives for everything. That's just the principle of God. That's the way it works. But if you want to grow, you have to sow. Amen. Praise the Lord. So may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So our righteousness is also, you know, righteousness is living as one ought to live before the Lord. That's what righteousness literally is. So to increase righteousness, to live as one ought to live before the Lord, you have to be somebody who has been multiplied because God has increased the fruits of your righteousness through the seeds you have sown. While you were enriched in everything, everybody say everything,
everything,
for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. We cause thanksgiving in the world because we sow into people, because we do things that people wouldn't expect. Amen. Praise the Lord. When God desired a great harvest, he sowed his absolute best seed. He didn't say, oh, I'm just going to sow enough. You understand that God could have done things differently. He didn't have to sow. He didn't have to sow his best seed. But God said, I'm just going to lay it all on the line. Why? Romans 8:32 tells us, you know, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Why did he sow his best seed? Because he wanted the best. He didn't, and that's the thing. Some people are like, oh, here, God, you know, here's my leftover. This is what I have, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Do you know sowing into your marriage is sowing into the kingdom of God? Yeah, absolutely. If you're a husband or wife, everything that you sow, good or bad, into your marriage is sowing into the kingdom of God. What you sow into your kids is sowing into the kingdom of God. Why? Because all things come back to that. All things come back to how we, praise God, hallelujah. Glory, oh, I guess I had that scripture in here. I forgot about it. And we're going to close with this, Romans 8:32. Let's go ahead and turn there. Amen. He's so good to us. So good to us. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Glory to God. There's some Christians out there that want to argue that. Some Christians out there that can't mean what it obviously says it means. But I've tried to look at it all different ways, and I'm just telling you, I can't see it any different way. I don't know if I'm just blinded by the word or if I'm blinded by God's love or if I'm blinded by the joy that he's put in my life since I followed these kinds of scriptures. Maybe all of that's true, but praise the Lord, if that's the truth, I like being blind. I'm just telling you the truth right now. But I don't understand how I can read that any other way. God's desire is not to remove from us. God's desire is to put into us. That's why he gave us the ability. See, this is the thing. Christians will fight against the idea of sowing and reaping, especially when you talk about their finances, especially when you talk about tithing and giving and stuff like that. I'm just going to tell you the truth. That is the greatest number one area that is probably attacked. That and serving in the local church. But those are the things that God has given you to increase. And so if you want to increase in your life, then you become faithful in doing so. What did he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will make you faithful over much. The opposite of that, though, we also know that if you are not faithful with the little, you will not be faithful over much because he'll never get it to you. He'll make sure that it never comes to you. I'm just telling you, it's the way it is. So if we want to increase in our life, there is a way to do it. That way is sowing. That way is reaping. Praise the Lord. And you don't reap where you haven't sown. God may, but we don't. Amen. Well, I mean, there is other principles, but you understand in general, what we're talking about is this is how it applies. Amen.